Blog Talk Radio.
Hot Legs. Good evening, everybody, and this is Delicious Talk Radio, the segment bringing sexy back. I am your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I want to give a little shout out to the folks who was with me during my birthday, saying thank you for the birthday wishes. My birthday was October the 9th. I had a party on Blog Talk Radio the 8th, which was a Wednesday, and it was just so wonderful and heartwarming for me to celebrate my 65th birthday. Yeah, I'm 65 years young and proud of it, okay? I want to thank my daughter, my daughter's girlfriend, my sister, my son, my brothers, my cousins, everybody who welcomed this new year into my life. And I basically really, really, really want to thank God, because if it wasn't for God waking me up on my birthday, I would not be here speaking with you guys. But He is the one who really brought me into my 61st birthday, and I do appreciate that so much. And we're back. We're back functioning well because, like I said, Wednesday was my birthday party. We hadn't done these shows for a while, but we're back in stride again, and we do have a very special guest this evening. You guys are in for a real treat. I have this evening Abigail Rich. She was born in Dallas, Texas, and all through high school, she knew she wanted to help people. Abigail began her career as a paramedic right out of high school and quickly moved up to flight medic on an air ambulance helicopter. Abigail was critically injured when the medical helicopter she was working on crashed. She underwent three life-saving surgeries, receiving over 400 stitches, over 200 staples, and a steel plate. The doctors told her family that she would not survive. Abigail proved them wrong when she walked out of the hospital. Little did Abigail know that this tragic event would lead her to her new career as a model, actress, and a Playboy bunny. Isn't God good? Yes, yes, yes. She walked out of that hospital, and her career went straight to the top. Without further ado, I'm going to bring Abigail Rich in so we can get this interview on the road.
Hey,
good
Ms.
evening, Abigail.
Gail.
How are you, darling?
I am wonderful, sweetheart, and happy birthday. I didn't know.
Well, thank you, darling. Of course, you didn't know, but yes, October the 9th was my birthday, and I did turn 65 years young, so I'm very grateful for that because a lot of my friends are not here celebrating their birthdays, and, you know, I was just so fortunate that God allowed me to wake up on my birthday. And it was the best birthday I had. I celebrated all the way from last week up to this week, and I'm still going to be doing a little bit more celebrating this Saturday. But I had a wonderful time, wonderful time, yes. But tonight the show is about you, darling. So give us a little background about Abigail. Where you were born and raised in Dallas, Texas. Do you have any siblings?
No, ma'am. I was born in Dallas, Texas. My mama didn't want me. So at 2 months old, I became, I don't know. I was raised by foster families my whole life. Some very wonderful, some were so-so, but you know what? Everybody tried their best, and it's, you know, quite an ordeal to bring in a foster child. So that's where I started. I do have I have a girlfriend, and her son, he adopted me. He's my big brother. He's actually a federal agent, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah, that is
and
nice.
He's a sweetheart. So other than that, no, ma'am, I don't have any. There's nobody else.
Oh, are your parents still living?
I don't know, honestly. Who my father was, and my mama is still around, yes, ma'am, but we don't really socialize. My mama really didn't want me, and she did things she shouldn't have, and so, yes, I was, again, became a foster child, so.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you know, sometimes things work out a way they do for a particular reason, and maybe it was just meant for those things to happen in your life to bring you to this point of your life, you know, because I don't want to get into my life because, like I said, tonight the show is about you. Well, tell me, okay, growing up with your foster parents, you said some of it was good and some of it wasn't. What was the best thing about the good that happened while you were with your foster parents?
I was raised with some of my foster families, and most of them were, trying to be politically correct here, which I'm not known for, as Texans are very direct, but they were senior citizens, most of them were, and very loving and very caring, and there were some that treated me like I was their very own baby. And but I was raised with old school Texas etiquette. Always be a lady, you know, never lie, never steal, and treat everybody the way you wanted to be treated.
Right.
So, and I look back at that, and every day of my life, I do that. I don't argue or fight with people. I'll look at them and say, God bless, and walk away.
Right, that's the best thing.
It is.
Yeah. So you growing up in foster care. Now, you said right after you came out of high school, you went into the medical field, so to speak.
Yes.
Because you wanted to help people.
I did. I was riding out. My granddaddy and grandmama were still around. Of course, they were up there in years, so that, you know, it was tough on them to take on a baby and a child and try to raise them. But I was riding with my granddaddy one day, and then we saw this accident. I mean, it was horrible. And he stopped to help, and we do that in Texas because Texas is, we're our own country. You know, we're very spread out,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped and helped, and I watched as the EMTs or paramedics arrived and what they did, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that is so great. I want to do that. So it took a little bit of work, but when I was 17, I got into an emergency medical technician program. And I started learning, and I loved it so much that I went right into becoming a paramedic. So when I turned 18, I went into paramedic school. I also, when I turned 18, got a job with one of the ambulance services. And I loved helping people. I mean, I truly do, because those folks, those boys and girls, you know, in the emergency medical field, they'll see you at the worst moment of your life, and their job is to get you through it. There's no bias, no prejudice. They don't care who your boyfriend is, who your girlfriend is, what color you are, what country you're from. They're there because they genuinely care and want to help you. And
right.
I love that. So I graduated paramedic school, and I started working it. I loved it. And then one day we called for an airship. And that's, you know, the air ambulance, the helicopter. We had a bad, very bad crash on the freeway. And they landed on the freeway, and, oh, my God, they were so wonderful. They were like angels from heaven. And, I mean, I could never met such compassionate people before in my life. And I saw them, and after they flew off with my patient, I thought, oh, my God, that is it. That is my calling. That's what I want to do. And it is quite an extensive process. I mean, there are the schooling and everything. I mean, they can do everything a doctor can do and more. And they don't need anybody to tell them what to do, because when you're in that airship, it's you and that flight paramedic.
Right.
Their job is to get you through that worst moment. And I did it. I worked my way up to it and absolutely loved what I was doing. I was in heaven doing that job. I mean, you know, if you're in an airship, it's pretty serious. So that's
right.
What I got.
Yes, it is. Tell us one of the most serious calls you was on before we talk about your accident, and how did you handle it?
I had, and I remember this very well, we got called out on a rollover, a car that turned over on the freeway. And people in Texas, I mean, we got these long stretches of roads. In fact, we have the highest speed limit in the nation in Texas right now. And this person had rolled her car, but what we weren't told, we were told she was ejected. So they automatically launched us. When I arrived, we found out that she wasn't our only patient. And what we had found is she had three children in the car that were not secured. They didn't have seat belts on. They didn't have child seats. They were just in the back of this van playing around. And on scene, I had to pronounce two of her children. And what I mean by that is that there's nothing we can do for her. There's nothing anybody can do. And that's part of our job, too. That's the part we hate, because that's a defeat. We don't want to accept. No one does.
Right, that is true.
And I had to tell her, and we transported her and her, 4-year-old little girl, who was very critical, who later did pass in the hospital. It was very tragic, and their children, and I someday want to be a mama, so children are very special, dear to me. So I remember that, and that was very tragic for me. I can still see their little faces.
Wow, I can imagine that. It's nothing worse than, you know, a parent losing a child, and, you know, what they, how they die is even worse, especially if it's something tragic, you know, as an accident or, you know, being killed. And, I mean, it's just really sad that, you know, a parent would have to go through that. So how did the mother make out? Did she ever recover? Or
the mama did recover. Well, physically, I think she recovered. I saw her some years later. We passed actually in a shopping center, and we made eye contact. We knew who each other was. I know that. I could feel that, but we didn't say anything. You know, as a paramedic, we don't, I don't know if you remember, there used to be an old TV show called Rescue 911, and everybody gets together and have a barbecue. It's not real. We don't do that. We get you through your worst moments, and then we let you go. You know,
right.
You're out of the nest. Go for it. Live life and learn from the mistake if you made it. You know, but we didn't say anything. But I felt, I don't think by the look on her face that she had recovered. And that is a horrible thing for any mama to go through, to lose a baby.
Wow. Wow, that is really sad. So on the day that you was involved in the accident, what exactly happened with that?
We were on our way to an oil platform for a gentleman who had had a massive heart attack. Now, I'm a little bit about myself. I don't really think I'm beautiful or pretty or anything like that, but I do like my hair, okay? And I have these long, poofy, blonde hair, so I would never wear my flight helmet. I know it's a big no-no, and I'd get in trouble for it, but, you know, your listeners out there, the girls know, once you get your hair made up nice, and you throw a helmet over it, it just ruins it for the whole day. And I wasn't wearing my helmet, but we were on a Raiders oil platform, and I was talking to the paramedics on the platform, finding out how the patient was doing, his weight, his age, what medications they had given him. So I had my ducks in a row, and so I knew what I could do for him then to get him to the hospital. I was flying with a different crew that I normally fly with, and I looked up, and I was actually in a different aircraft that I'm used to as well, and because I was filling in for a nurse that was out on maternity leave. And I looked up and I saw all these little lights start to come on the instrument console. Now, I'm blonde, okay, so all those blonde jokes y'all hear, they are about me. But I looked at it and something said, well, that's not normal. But I went on about my business, you know, getting my patient information and everything. And but I kept, it kept drawing my attention, and I looked up, and then I looked at the pilot. Wonderful pilot. I mean, oh, I mean, absolutely wonderful. And he looked back at me, and he had, and I, he had these, this deer in front of the headlights look on his face. Never said a word. And I look back at the console, and there's this big red light, a big square thing. It's like 3 inches by 3 inches, and it says master warning. I know this much. If that's flashing, life as you know it is about to end. We were 1,186 feet above the ground. And we dropped like a rock. I mean, we went in, and it was so fast. I mean, I don't think I yelled. I don't think I screamed. I knew when I saw that light flashing that something was wrong, and I reached for my helmet, and it was an arm's length away. I never touched it. I remember looking down, but everything was now topsy-turvy, if you will. And I was looking down, which was actually looking up, and I looked at my feet, and we wore these dark blue navy flight suits, Nomex flight suits, and we had these these zip-up leather boots. I mean, they were not pretty at all, okay? Any of you ladies out there like shoes like I do, these were not cutting it, but it was what we had to wear. And I had on, when I went into work that morning, I had on these little white, I call them baby socks. They're little, you know, socks with little lace around them. And I looked down at my feet, and one of my boots was gone. I could see my socks. Both my socks were red. And as I was looking there, I realized that I felt my face was cold, and I touched it, and I had blood all over my face. And I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. I looked at Tom, our pilot. He looked at me, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I didn't answer him. He said, "We have to get out of the aircraft. It's on fire." And he said, "You know, pull the pins and push the door out." Well, I couldn't reach the door, which was a matter of a foot away from me, because we went into, according to the NTSB report, they called it the canopy. We went into a forested area, and so we were caught up in trees. A 4-inch tree branch came through the side of the aircraft. It went into my tummy, just to the left and below my belly button. It shattered my pelvis and came out right below my left kidney. It went all the way through me. And I looked at him, and he's yelling at me to do this. And I'm like, "I can't. I'm shish kebabbed. Look." And then, of course, you know, it's like somebody turned on the light switch, because then you can see all the blood and everything. And so he said, "Okay, this is going to hurt." And him and Eric, the other flight medic, they got over and they decided they were going to kick the branch and break it. Well, I felt the first 4 kicks. After that, it took 7, and they did break it, but they didn't take it out, because you never take anything out that's gone into your body, because it is controlling bleeding.
Right.
And so with that, he said, "Okay, let's get out of the aircraft." Well, my ankles were broken. My right arm was broken. I was having trouble breathing. All my ribs on my right side were broken. They punctured a lung. My jaw was broken. I mean, I was pretty well messed up, and I had a lot of internal injuries. They carried me out, and we kind of just hung out in the tree like some birds, if you will. He held me up. He held me between him and the tree trunk. And I looked at him, and I said, "Tom, did you call for help?" And he said, "They'll find us." And I said, "You didn't call." And he goes, "I didn't get a chance." Seven hours, 42 minutes, and 10 seconds later, I came to because I heard a helicopter. And I looked up, and I saw the bottom of it, and the belly said USCG. It was the United States Coast Guard. And they had found us because our ELT, an instrument on an aircraft, when it crashes, it sends out a signal. They had found that signal. So they came looking for us. And as I'm watching, now remember, I'm critically injured. I saw a shopping cart coming out of the sky. And yes, y'all, I do like to shop, okay? But I saw a shopping cart coming out of the sky, and I'm one of those girls. I don't chase boys. I don't, you know, boys have to make, I'm old school. Boys have to make that first move. But this boy was very cute. And he was a para-rescue swimmer, something like that. And he had this blonde hair and these blue eyes. And he looked at me and he goes, "Sweetie, you need to come with me." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, I'll go with you anywhere." So that's how much shock I was in, because that is so not me. And I said, "Where are we going?" He goes, "I want you to come in this basket with me, and we're going to take you up in our helicopter and get you to the hospital." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute, sweetheart. I just did this, been here, done that. I'm not getting in another one of those things at all." I said, "Y'all call me an ambulance on the ground." And he said, "There's no road for 86 miles. I said, "Okay, y'all just point me the direction. Tell them where to meet me. I'll meet them at the road." And he was running his hands through my hair on the left side, as matted and covered in blood as it was, you know, but it was working. And he goes, "You don't understand. We are, you know, 30 minutes to bingo," which means they'd be on their fuel reserves. "And you need to come with me." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry. I'm just not getting in that aircraft. I'm not doing it." And with that, what he was doing, he wasn't brushing my hair. He was grabbing a hold of a handful of hair. And with that, he jerked me in that rescue basket. I don't remember anything past that except for some 7 weeks later. Some 7 weeks later, I heard somebody say, "Abigail, you did it. You did it." And I opened my eyes and I looked up and I saw the, sorry, okay, but I saw the dirtiest ceiling I've ever seen in my life. Now, none of us ever go through a hospital or anything and look up, okay, but I remember thinking, that is filthy. And I looked over and it was one of my foster sisters and she goes, "You did it. You did it." And I said, "What did I do? Oh, God, what have I done?" And she goes, "You made it. They said you wouldn't make it." And they were moving me from the critical care intensive care unit down to the step-down unit. Apparently, and this is what I was told after the fact, that I had to have 3 operations to keep me alive. I had over 400 stitches, 200 staples. I had numerous steel plates and titanium, which do hold my bones together. And even with that, they gave me less than 1% chance of ever waking up.
Wow.
And I did. I did do it. Okay.
That was
but
very
I didn't
serious.
Get alone, I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah, that was a very serious accident. Very serious.
Yes, ma'am.
So, what was the worst of the accident for you? What was the worst injuries that you sustained? Even though I know all of them were serious, but what was the worst injury? The one that was the most life-threatening injury that you sustained?
My broken, all the ribs broken and the punctured lung, because they had to put the paramedics in a helicopter, had to cut into my left, my right side, and they shoved a tube in there to try to let the air out so my lung would reinflate, because otherwise I wouldn't have made it to the hospital. And then later that got infected. My broken ankles were very tough on me because in rehab I had to, they were telling me, "You will never walk, you will never dance." I was a cheerleader in junior high school, college, and then for a sports team. I mean, I loved doing that. And they say, "Oh, you'll never do that. You'll never walk, you'll never dance." Not normally. Those things all really bothered me.
Wow, that is really something. Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into what you became, how your career took off, and what you created you go to first, being a model, actress, or a Playboy bunny. So we'll be back in a few, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Okay, that's Dwelle, Two Occasions. And we're back with our special guest this evening, Abigail Rich, who was an only child and lived in foster care for years. She was also involved in a very serious paramedic accident aboard a helicopter ambulance, and she went to the hospital, received over 400 stitches, 200 staples, and she survived when she was only given a 1% chance of survival. And after that, she took a career modeling, actress, and being a Playboy bunny. So that's what we're getting ready to dive into right now. So, Abigail, you with me, darling?
Yes, I am, sweetheart.
Okay, so which of these three careers did you embark on first, the modeling, actress, or Playboy bunny?
Well,
well, all three of them.
None.
At
they,
the same time.
They found me. I had gone, after a year after I had gotten out of the hospital, I was doing physical therapy. And my foster sister took me to a restaurant in Texas known for their wings.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me, I'll tell y'all, they're named after an owl. Okay, y'all can put that together, an owl and chicken wings
okay,
and all that.
Excuse me, Abigail, I'm sorry. I wanted to let everybody know that my co-hosts are here. Jay Dino, he's here, one of my co-hosts is here, and I lost my other co-host. She just called dropped. But my co-host, Jadino, is here. So say good evening to Abigail Rich, Jadino, and, you know, we're going to, like I said, we're going to embark on how she went from being 1% chance of surviving a horrific accident and to becoming a model and a actress in a Playboy bunny. We also have Rhea Banks. She's back, my other co-host. So, okay.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can finish telling us about the wings and when you was at the restaurant and everything.
Yes. So, y'all can figure that. We wore orange shorts and all that stuff. But
mm-hmm.
I was there. And my foster sister saying, look, you're very beautiful. You know, life, now y'all need to remember, I've had all these operations, had all these scars. I felt,
mm-hmm.
And again, I never did think I was beautiful, but I felt like Frankenstein's bride.
Ooh.
So and she was telling me that, and I just said, look, I'm getting really tired of hearing it. I don't believe it. I know better than that. And so I said, I'll prove it right now. So I asked the waitress, I said, I need to see the manager. And she just said, is everything okay? So, yeah, I just need to see him. It's unrelated to anything you're doing or the food. And he came over, and I said, I need to ask you a serious question. Am I pretty enough to be a Hooters girl? And he looked at me. Well, you know, we looked first. And he looked me up and down, and he said, when can you start? And I looked at my foster sister, and I said, see, so shut up. And then it finally clicked. He said, yes. And I was like, wow. I had worked there, and I took the job. I mean, I wanted to get back to work. I was ready to never be lazy. And so I was there a week. I was 1 week. And this, and y'all know, boys, the boys out there, y'all got more lines than the phone company. Some better than others. But I'm telling you, I heard them all. But this one boy came in, and he said, you know what, he was a big dog with this international cosmetic company, and they want to do a photo shoot with me. And I'm like, oh, please, please. You know, that's good. He goes, look, I even have a business card. And I thought, wow, you went that far into this. You even went and had business cards made up. And I said, you know what, I'm going to give you so much credit for this. I'm going to comp you your beverage. And I did. And I took the card and I threw it in the car. My foster sister saw it, and she said, well, that's what I told her. And she goes, let's call him. We did. And he really was with that company. And I went and did a test suit with them. And to this day, I am still a cover girl with this international cosmetic company. And my career just kind of took off from there. I still worked at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had boys coming in going, hey, I'm, you know, the president of this company, the CEO, I'd love you to come be a model for us at this trade show. And one thing led to another to where it became more of a career than just something to do for fun.
Mm.
And so it just kind of ran from there. And now, I mean, I model for an international lingerie firm. They're now in they're United States, but now they're in the UK. And it's just gone from there. I mean, I am truly blessed. I am.
Okay.
I mean, I had an angel looking out for me.
So that's how you got into the modeling thing.
Okay,
yes, ma'am. Let's talk about how did you get into being an actress? You know, how did that come about?
Well, because my modeling career had taken off so well, I started having folks contacting me about I would do like a model, a photo shoot for their product. And they'd say, hey, we're going to do a commercial. Would you do a commercial for me? And I went, well, I guess. Like, tell me what I need to do. And it just took off again. It just took off. It just, one thing led to another. I mean, I do commercials for some of the largest hotel, casino, resorts in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I was blessed. I mean, seriously, I mean that. I truly believe I have an angel looking out for me, as we all
mm-hmm.
do. Okay? I mean, we do.
Oh, no doubt.
So.
Okay, now finally, Playboy Bunny.
Okay.
And have you been to the mansion?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Ma'am, I have. I was doing a photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
and I have a manager now, and I have staff that kind of, you know, we're a team, because I could not do this without my team. I could not.
Right.
And so they said, hey, Playboy would like you to do a modeling job for him. I'm like, oh, no, y'all, I can't do anything. I can keep my clothes on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, it's for a Christmas gift-giving guide. So I went down and met with the folks down there, and they said, we want you to wear this little bunny outfit. And I was like, oh, my God, it's adorable. I love it. Okay. And basically I was pointing at Ferraris and high-end cars and stuff. And a project manager went by, and they said, oh, wow, there's one of our bunnies. I'm looking for you. And I went, no, I'm not a bunny. He said, you are now. And I said, no,
wow.
I'm modeling for this. And he said, how would you like to be a real Playboy bunny? And I said, well, I don't know. What do I have to do? And it was for the Palms Resort Casino / Playboy Club in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it, and I found out the benefits and everything of doing it, and I said, well, I would love to try it. I mean, I almost lost my life. So I should,
mm-hmm.
as we all should, live each day as if it's our very last and enjoy
yeah.
this precious
yeah.
gift of life that we've been given. And I said, yes. And I became a Playboy bunny at that location up until they closed it. It was the very last Playboy Club in the United States. I was a little blue bunny. So y'all
mm-hmm.
search Google, you'll see pictures of me in my blue bunny suit. And then after they closed it, I became a black bunny, which I work black tie events now at the mansion.
So you've met Hugh Hefner?
Yes, ma'am. I have.
Wow. Is he a nice person, or is he moody, or... what was your perception of him?
I think he was very nice. But I think
oh.
everybody involved at the Playboy Institution is very nice. I mean, I communicate with the folks at the London Playboy Club almost every day, and they're absolutely
mm-hmm.
wonderful. And bunnies, we are all the bunnies. It doesn't matter what country we're from or color we are or creed or any of that stuff. We're bunnies. And I have bunny
mm-hmm.
sisters, and we talk, and we're a family.
Okay, wow. That's really very interesting to, you know, after all you've been through, especially the fact of you're coming up, you know, without your parents. you know, even though you was in foster care, and sometimes they can be, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And we didn't get on the part of when you was in the foster care home when it was not so good. What was that all about?
Well, things happen. Nobody's life is perfect, and none of us are ever promised that life will be fair or good or anything else. Life is what we make of it. I had some experiences I really wish I didn't have to experience, but I do not look back at those experiences and let them judge my life now or determine who I am. We all have bad things happen to us in our lives, and we look at it at that moment and go, oh my God, this is terrible. How am I going to get through this? And with that being said, we have to let go of things. We have to go, wow, forgive me, okay, but this is the way I look at it. Well, that sucks, but it's not going to change my life. I'm not going to let it determine who I am. I don't hate anybody in the world, and I'm not mad at anybody in the world. There are people that I prefer not to deal with or know, but everybody has a story. Everybody has their rights. And we have to look at that before we judge anyone. And I never judge anyone. I always say, I don't wear black. I'm not a judge. It's not my place to judge people. So I don't look back at those things and let them determine who I am. I try to forget them the best I can.
Right. Wow. That, you know, it's just so amazing, you know, how some people come out, because you could have came out, you could have been bitter, you could have been mad because you got on that helicopter and you know, saw those things happening before they happened, and, you know, but you turned everything around and, you know, received your blessings, and, you know, you continue to go on with your life, and you're such a beautiful person, you know, and I truly applaud you, you know, for turning out the way that you did and doing things that you do. So also, I think I read somewhere where you was in a couple of movies.
Yes, ma'am. After the commercials, I've offered roles in several TV shows. I was in one about a robbery that took place in Las Vegas for Discovery Network. I was on another one called Leverage. It was on TNT, and I really enjoyed doing that. And then from there, I got offered a role in Hangover Part 3.
Okay. Oh, I saw Hangover 1 and 2.
Well, okay. Yeah. Stick with that. Stick with those, okay?
I have to check out 3 now.
Oh, no. Stick with what you got, sweetie. Okay. and then I just finished a role in Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Mm-hmm. What's the guy? I can't think of his name. Yeah, but Mall Cop. Yeah, I saw that one as well. It's a comedy, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So I have really been blessed. You know, I always try to look at the good in everyone. You all have to remember, you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. Don't let it affect your life or who you are. Just look at it, back off, let them go. Don't get up there and do road rage because, okay, first of all, y'all, we all make mistakes. I'm the first one to admit I do. I'm a blonde. Mm-hmm. I'm a girl. I have lots of hair, and sometimes it does get in my way, and I'm driving, and I did it just not long ago. I mean, 2-3 weeks ago, and I cut this boy off. And I was in another state. I was on my way to a modeling job, and he pulled up next to me, and he's flashing a gun and everything.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, he got real serious. So we had to call the police on that one. So, but we have to understand that mistakes happen. If somebody cuts you off, let them go. If somebody's mean to you, turn the other cheek. Be compassionate to your fellow human being. We're all stuck on this rock together. I don't care if you're black, white, green, yellow, blonde, black hair. I don't care. We're all stuck here together. And if we can get along, just think what a wonderful world we could make this.
Oh, yes. Yes, now that is a true fact. But, you know, people are people, and they have their ways. And, You know, some people are good, some people are bad, you know, happy, sad, jealous, envy. But, you know, mm-hmm. it just makes up the whole world. Everybody's different from everybody. So, you know, you have to love yourself first and then illuminate with other people and get along with people the best way you can, because I try my best to love everybody regardless of your skin color, whatever's going on in your life,
yeah.
you know, and I treat people the way I want to be treated. So, you know, and I know
and
that
you're a wonderful person for that.
Yes, thank you. You know, everybody, I definitely try to be as compassionate as I can be, because that's how I want people to be towards me when I'm having my downtime. You know, not, I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me or anything like that, but you know, if you have a shoulder and I need your shoulder to cry on, I appreciate that, and I will give you my shoulder as well. You know, so that's just the type of person that I am, because I've had a lot of adversities in my life that I had to get over, and still going through a little bit of adversities. But I look at it like this. There's somebody out there who's worse off than me. So I count my blessings and worry about my life, you know, and I don't try to judge people, you know, because I'm not a judge. But, you know, everybody has their opinion, and my opinion about me is my business. You know, I mean, you can have an opinion about me, but my opinion is the only opinion that counts about me. So,
but, sweetheart, you and your co-host, y'all know this. You had bad days. We all have
them. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But if you didn't have a bad day, how could you really have a good day? Would you know what a good day is?
That is true. That is so true, because you, in order to get the sunshine, you have to weather the rain.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And your co-host is sure being quiet.
Yeah. Listeners
well,
out there,
I'm going
to
be noisy in a minute.
Okay.
If you have
I'm
any questions
absorbing.
Or comments. Huh?
I said I'm just absorbing.
Okay.
Oh, you're absorbing.
All
okay.
All of her escapades and jobs. And you living a life.
I
That's
am
what
glad.
It's all about in the end.
It is. I do believe if y'all ever get a chance to look at some of my photos, you'll notice on 99% of all my photos, I wear a necklace. On that necklace are my flight wings from that crash. It was part of my uniform. I had somebody, I'm not preaching to anybody, but somebody gave me this, took my wings, and put a cross over them. Because I do believe I had an angel looking out for me.
Oh,
and I
no
think
doubt.
Each and every one of us do. Everybody does.
Yeah,
you know, we just have
yeah.
to not be so proud and say, hey, I could use a little help here. But I think so.
Right.
So on majority of all my shoots, I wear that necklace. And sometimes it's just that in lingerie, but it's there.
Well, I'm going to try to look at the necklace.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take another little break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com. Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero.
30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often, he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed-filled drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
Aretha Franklin, Don't Play That Song. I love that song. Aretha Franklin or something. But anyway, we're back with our special guest this evening, Abigail Rich. Abigail, I also read somewhere that you was taking this particular name, but you had to switch it up.
Oh. Yes.
What was that all about?
I am an independent model. And what that means is I have agents. Of course, they get a fee. So let's assume for a minute that you had a client out there that would love to have me model their product, their cars for car lot or clothes or cosmetics or whatever. If they called my agent, they have to pay a fee for the agent. But since I'm independent, they could call my manager, reach out to my manager, and they obviously get a better rate.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have my own website. And everybody said, do you have a website we could go look at? All there was my agent's website about me. So my manager said, let's just get a website. So let's find out what's a good name. So I said, how about abigailrich.com? And she said, well, that's great. Then we went and tried to find it. Somebody had it. But it said, contact us if you want to buy this. So I contacted them. And I said, that's my name. And they said, well, you know, we know who you are. You're an actress, model, Playboy bunny. I model for Guess and Prada and Victoria's Secret. And they said, so you're in the industry, they call you a supermodel. So we went ahead and put it together. And we will sell it to you, okay, for $8,000.
Oh,
and I said,
goodness.
Wait a minute. Y'all are going to sell me my name for $8,000? And they said, yes, we will. So I said, well, that's kind of mean of y'all because it is my name. And so I told my manager about it, and she said, you know what? They got a point. And I said, I'm not paying $8,000, sweetie, for that. I'm sorry. That's just not right. And they said, well, they did. You are called a supermodel. I'm like, yes. So my manager said, let's check with supermodel Abigail Rich, which I really don't like. I don't like the industry calling me that. And it's because I do, you know, I'm a model. I'm an actress. I'm a Playboy bunny. I'm covering all aspects of the media.
Right.
I'm just a simple Texas girl, y'all. I really am. So they ran with supermodelabigailrich.com, and there's my website. And so, but I saved $8,000 in the long run. So,
yes, it did. Wow, that is really crazy. Wanted to sell you back your name. Was it spelled the same way as you spell yours?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And I thought, $8,000. I said, wow. And they said, well, you can't have a website without it. And I went, oh, now y'all shouldn't go there. Don't ever call back and we can't do something.
Yes, yes. You can just add a word or subtract a word. Yes. Wow, that is crazy.
$8,000. What do y'all think of that one, huh? That's, wow.
Wow, that was really crazy. Really crazy. Yeah. Well, this has been one very interesting interview, and I do appreciate your coming on and being my guest this evening. Let our listening audience know how they can get in. And I didn't open the chat room. I apologize for that, but I was really trying to set this show up at the last minute quickly and because I was over at another show. But let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, Abigail, your website and, you know, different things like that you want them to know about you, get in touch
with you. Of course. And let me tell you this, I am honored to be on your show. I mean, it's truly an honor for me, and I thank you for having me. But
your
listeners out there, it's my honor, but your listeners out there can go to supermodelabigailrich.com, and y'all can look through, and there's pictures and little stories about me and stuff. If y'all would like, I'll take care of all your listeners out there. If they need a model, I will take care of them. I really will. I have been known to do some things. My manager's going to hate this. I've been known to do some jobs for free. Just because it's something I miss a lot to me. But
right.
If you go to there's different tabs at the top. If they go to portfolio, they can go, there's a link to Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook. I would love to see y'all on my Facebook page. There's Internet Movie Database, and there's a book in there about me and just all kinds of things that I've done. But I'd love to hear from the listeners and stuff.
Right, and the name is spelled A-B-I-G-A-I-L. I made the mistake and spelled it G-A-L-E because, I mean, you can spell Gail that way as well. But letting the listeners know that it's A-B-I-G-A-I-L. Yeah, when you go to her.
Y'all call me anything, y'all call me late for supper.
My mom used to say that. Wow. Well, like I said, it was more than a... What'd you say, Jadino?
I'll say I'm on a site now.
Oh, okay. But again, y'all stay in touch with me with Twitter and Facebook. If y'all like my page on Facebook and you send a message, it'll come right to my email.
Okay, your Facebook page is Supermodel Abigail as well?
Yes, ma'am. It's www.facebook.com/SupermodelAbigailRich.
Okay, go on in, friend you. Oh, yeah, so this has been a very, very interesting hour and a couple of minutes, interesting conversation. And, you know, speaking with Abigail, I hope you guys learned a few things from her attitude, you know, being in that accident and coming out the way she did and soaring like she did, becoming a model, actress, and a Playboy bunny, and just keeps going and going and going. So, you know, always remember, when somebody gives you lemons, you can make lemonade or you can bring them to me. I'll make you a lemon martini, lemon meringue pie, whatever. You know, you don't have to, you know, when somebody gives you lemons,
girl, I'm coming to your house.
You can do with them. You're more than welcome, you know, because that's just the attitude that I take, because I, you know, my life wasn't a bowl of cherries growing up either, but, you know, I learned a lot of things along the way and learned to appreciate life, and I love life, I love people, and I love the things that I do in my life. I started my publishing company back in 2012, and, you know, it's just been really good for me. And I have 5 books published, working on a few more books. And I'm always going to write because that's my passion, is writing. I love to write and I love to read. So, you know, if any listeners out there, you have any books you want to have them promoted, you can send me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com, and you can become a guest on the show to promote your books or any type of business you may have, you need that promoted or whatever. And, you know, just send me an email and you could be a guest on the show as well. And we're going to give you a great big round of applause for being our guest this evening. Okay. And do you have any closing remarks, Abigail? Anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, if anybody out there needs a model, please think of me. Give me a call. Reach out to us. We'll take care of you. And remember, no matter what anybody does to you, don't let it determine who you are. Smile, turn the other cheek, and get along with one another. If we can do that, we're going to have a wonderful world.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. So with that being said, we're getting ready to close this show out, but I'm going to let my two co-hosts let everybody know what they do. Jadino, you want to let everybody know what you do?
I'm Jadino Blasco, and I'm everything art. I'm literally doing it this year.
Yes.
Painting,
yes.
Shirts, shoes, video. I'm using everything around me as a medium. And I'm going to have a phenomenal year.
Absolutely.
October. I'm having a phenomenal year.
All right. He's also an actor, and he does so many things. He wears a lot of hats.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's smart and good-looking is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay. Let everybody know how they can get in touch with you as well, Jadeno.
Oh, yeah. You can reach me on Facebook mostly at Jadeno Blasco. J-D-I-N-O-B-L-A-S-C-K-O. Or you can Gmail me at j.dinoblasco@gmail.com.
All right. Okay, I'm going to let Rhea tell everybody where. Rhea, how can everybody get in touch with you and let everybody know what you do, darling?
Hi, the best way to get in touch with me is on Facebook, and that's Rhea Alexis Thanks on Facebook. And I am a book reviewer, and I am a crocheter, and those are the primary things that I do that are known to the public currently.
Right, right. Well, okay, so I want everybody out there to know that, you know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but it's not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to either my co-host, that's RhiaAlexis@yahoo.com or to Jadeno Blasco. And put in the subject line, topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half or however long the show may be of adult entertainment, adult conversations, and, you know, just keeping it real around here, you know. So it's almost the weekend. Hope everybody had a beautiful last weekend. Hope you have a beautiful weekend coming up. Remember, if you're out drinking, don't drive. If you're driving, don't drink. I love it when I can talk to you guys and not about you. With that being said, love you guys. Everybody have a beautiful evening and good night. And thanks again. Thanks very much, Abigail, for stopping by this evening, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all. Y'all take care.
All right. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.